Turn Bibles to Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. You know, it's exciting to think about if we could get our heads wrapped around what we're doing now matters. Do you know what I mean? That everything, what we're doing for the Lord now matters, and what we do. What we do in one day in heaven, we're going to be there. Amen. We're going to be there. And when we get there, and I think it's coming soon. I mean, people have been saying that for a long time. I think it's sooner now than when they used to say it. Amen. You like that? And so the thing is, I think we're going to be there one day. And I don't know what it's going to feel like. I don't know what it's going to look like. But there's going to be some things that are going to start to be unfolded for us. And there's going to be an accounting of what we did. And I think some of the things that we did and we didn't know what all we were doing, what kind of impact it had, I think it's going to be unfolded for us. The Bible talks about every idle word. I mean, there's going to be things that's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be, but it's going to unfold, and maybe, you know, how this affected that and how this affected that and how what we're doing. I'm excited. I'm going to leave this back here as a permanent table back here. I'm going to add some things. I've got a couple things I'm going to add. I've got an article that was written about it. I'm getting an article. I had the article. I also asked the guy to send it to me again. Kind of gives a little more explanation in a little more of a technical way, so those that want to read it. I want to get a picture of the lady. There's two ladies that are primarily doing the work on this project. One is a Sri Lankan lady, Aisha, and I want to get her picture up there. And I'm going to read her story. I'm going to read something this Sunday. It's a thrill. It's an encouragement. That Kirsten is our linguist. She's doing all the technical work, and it's work, folks. I'm telling you, this is work. She's not paid for this. This is not something she's doing for the glory of it. She's doing it because she has a burden. I'm telling you, she's not of our stripe of people. She's not a Baptist. She's not. But I'm telling you, God is doing something in her heart and mind that she's getting to see. What many missionaries get to see and what they get to experience on the field. And it's a thrill. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it Sunday. I'm going to put it back. It's going to be exciting. But I want to get their pictures up there because I want us to pray for them particularly because they are, they're both, well, I know they both shared stories about how there is resistance in their life. And so we need to pray a hedge protection around them that are in the battle lines there, you know, in the battlefield. And so, but I'm excited about that. I think about our school. What we're doing with that and what God's going to do with that right now, what's already being established. Our kids did real well on the testing. They did. Was that just last week? Wow, it's just last week. Man, it was a long week. The long week for them, too. You know, they did the standardized testing, and then they did the diagnostic testing. And some of them, many of them did really, really well. And moved up into some different areas, and some just shored up what they... I mean, it's really... see what's going on. And so I'm seeing their spirits changing. It's great. It's great. Not that they're sour spirits. Not that. But there's a difference, folks. You know, it doesn't mean we go from a bad spirit to a good spirit. Sometimes it means we go from just a blah spirit to a spiritual, you know, an attentive. So it's great to see it. I'm excited about what we see. But we don't know what we're putting into these kids now, what the dividends is. And so everything that we do there's a payday someday, which has nothing to do with our lesson tonight. I was just thinking about that. Ed and I were praying. Just Anyhow, he was praying. I was thinking about other. No, I was. It's from what he said, I made me think about that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15. Let's get back into this tonight. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place." Okay, so we're going to go quickly through this because we covered some of this last week. And so I'm going to, when I say quickly, I'm not going to, we got some folks that weren't in here, so I'm going to cover it, but we're not, anyhow. Number one, this is a warning to the wicked, okay, right? Verse 15, "Lay not, O wicked man." It's as it's speaking to the wicked. A, why would the Lord insert a warning to someone that will not be the reader of this text? Okay, we talked about this. Some of you are like, why? Because the other ones, you all know. That's a rhetorical question. And it's also a rhetorical phrase. What he's saying is, number one, though it is addressed to the wicked, this is meant to be an encouragement for the righteous. And so it's as if God is speaking to them and really is, God is giving us this understanding of, this is what I'm saying to them. All right? In other words, even though it's addressed to the wicked, it is meant to be received by the righteous. It's meant to be, it's for us. It's for us because we're the ones reading it. Right? We're the ones reading it. B, we will find then the reason that the wicked should not attempt this. Why should the wicked not attempt this? Verse 16, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." So what we find, number one, the righteous will not be defeated. The righteous isn't going to be defeated, but the wicked themselves will fall. They'll fail, they'll fall, they're going to go down, they're going to fall out of this thing. So the reason that they shouldn't attempt this is because you're wasting your time. So wouldn't you like to tell the wicked, don't even try it. Don't try it, buddy. Ain't going to work. You think they would listen? No. So the message isn't to them. Don't try it. You're going to try it with me, you're going to lose. Now, that kind of sounds like it's me, right? No. And that's why we don't really go down this road. Instead, what it is, it's about is the fact that he's saying they're going to do it, but they're going to fail. We're not going to. Number two, to fall into mischief. Remember we talked about that. It says there in at the end of verse 16, "But the wicked shall fall into mischief." Mischief means ruin and utter destruction. Okay, it doesn't mean naughty, naughty, right? It means mischief, in the Word of God, means total, utter destruction. It's not a little nice thing. Oh, well, so the worst that's going to happen is they're going to fall into mischief. No, it means big stuff. So see, we are encouraged that the wicked will not be victorious, but we will be. Okay? That's what we ought to be encouraged with. So, number one, seven times isn't the limit of success we will have. It is a Hebrew idiom that means continual or to the fullest extent. It means completely. So when he talks about this phrase of seven times, and last week we looked at all those verses. That's why I made this all into one thing, because that was several points last week. And there's scripture in there. We're not going to cover those again. But the what we find in that is that there was, and every time we find it in Scripture, what he's talking about, it means it's, this time period, it means it's going to be as far as it can be done. Okay? There's no limit. It's going to be completely done. And so we may fall down seven times, which means we may fall down a bunch, but we'll always get back up. God will not leave us. God will not leave us fallen. Isn't that great? And so then number two, the righteous will rise up continually and completely, whereas the wicked are bound for destruction. And we talked about that. So good for them, the filthy rats, right? No. Number two was this, point number two, rejoice not. Rejoice not. And that's what he says, verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Okay, we got some things here. Hey, we're now speaking of the believer's spirit and attitude. Okay, now we're talking about us. So first he was talking about them. Hey, no, don't be encouraged because they're fallen. You're not going to be. We're going on to heaven. They're going for destruction. But now he's going to talk about our spirit. I think one of the areas in our generation, and I mean our generation, I don't mean just the last like 30 years, I mean the last 100 years probably in America, we, you know, maybe at least, you know, 80 years or so, we've got a very unbiblical position as Americans. We're really proud of success, right? I mean, I've said there's this fella started saying this thing. It was just funny. I like funny sayings because they crack me up. But he said, one thing Americans can't do, stop being American. Yeah. So and it was like some ad came. He said, stop! Don't stop being American. You know, it's just this whole thing, and I appreciate that because I'm a proud American. I love America. I'm thankful. But the thing is, we can it can really affect our spirit to saying, yeah, look how great we are. And it's always embarrassing when you're in a place and you see Americans being that American. My wife and I were in London on our honeymoon. And we were just out there hanging out. I mean, we went to London about every other weekend, but we went down there in the city for our honeymoon because we were stationed there, right? And so we were down there, and all of a sudden we're in this area. We're talking about Piccadilly Square, where all this center downtown London, you're all this going on, and you hear this noise, just all this noise, loud. We're like, man, what is it? There is, I'm telling you, this family of four, husband and wife, two kids, they couldn't have looked any more American. You're just like, all right, mate, I'm going to start talking like a Brit. So I didn't want to get mixed in with it. It was like so, and I thought, you people are the ones that make us look bad. But what I want to say is our spirit, folks, our attitude, our spirit, how we come across to people is one of our greatest challenges to overcome. It really is. Because we can get, as believers, we can get to where we're doing the right thing, right? We can. I think doing the right thing's easier than being the right thing. I really do. A checklist is, I mean, at least in my mind, for people are different, but a checklist, okay, I could do that, I could do that, I could do that. Now I say, okay, and you kind of can you kind of see Jesus say something like, maybe something like this. Okay, you're doing that, but I want to tell you, if you don't think this way, it's just as wrong, right? You've heard it said, thou shalt not, but I say, don't even think about it, right? The Lord knew, I think most of this Bible was written for Americans in the 21st century. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, we find this kind of spirit that he's dealing with. What I mean is, it's always been going on. I think it's becoming greater and greater. You know, you get a period in history, maybe it was always that there. But this is a spread out to be everyone today. I mean, it's really common today. So he begins to deal with the spirit and this attitude. So number one, yes, they will fall into utter ruin and eternal judgment. That's happening. Those, the unrighteous, the wicked that deny Christ and That's their end, folks. And sometimes we get a little mixed up on how we're supposed to feel about this. Because on one side, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Burn and torment forever and ever. I mean, even really mean people to you. I mean, that neighbor that, you know, I know where you're going. You know what I'm saying? Some people that personally dig into your life and make your life difficult. I can think of a few church members through the year. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding on that. But it was a joke. Y'all with me? Okay. But, you know, there's some people like this. And you're thinking, man, there's nobody I can think of that I think, man, I really hope. Maybe people we don't know that we see on TV or on news, I mean, you know what I mean? That do really wicked things. We're like, yeah, that's, we'd almost maybe them, but not people we would know. No, nobody you would ever know would you want this for. But the Bible tells us about their end. That's where they're going. It's there to encourage us that don't get defeated by this world, folks. Sometimes it's rough on us. Sometimes it's real. You ever felt like quitting? Just like, man, my wife and I sometimes will say, man, I wish we could just go to a desert island and just the two of us and nobody be there. But then we'd miss our kids probably after a few years. No, just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you're just like, man, I'd like to get away from all of it. And sometimes, not because it's so, I mean, not because, you know, you're like, y'all are thinking, who's making you feel like it? No, it's just sometimes just, it's not always people. Sometimes it's just the pressure of living for the Lord against the world, against Satan, against our own flesh, right? And we feel, and the Lord, what the Lord is trying to encourage us here, hey, listen, you might have fallen, you may fail here, but you're going to get up. Get back up, get back in it. Get up, get back into that thing. And so, under that, and so they will fall into eternal judgment, number one. But do not find yourself rejoicing, celebrating, or otherwise enjoying that fact. The idea of encouragement for us is that we will be victorious in this life and in the next. Here's a question for us. Can we be encouraged without there having to be someone else that we have to reject and hate? Right? These don't have to be, we don't have to have both of these things. It doesn't mean like, well, you know what? I feel good because I know where you're going. You ever wish somebody would get fired? Come on. Right? I mean, maybe like a coworker, or maybe like a waitress, or maybe like somebody that interacted with you. You don't answer this, but I know people that have called in to try to get somebody fired. Just try to get them fired because of, like, you know, I'm going to call and let. Man, there's people that I've had bad experience with, but I tried, you know what? There's a period of time that I probably would have been on that board. Yeah, they need to be set straight. Maybe they'll learn a lesson and I'll be the teacher, right? The further I get down the road and where I'm at in my life now, you know what I've begun to realize? I'm still pretty new at this. People got stuff going on in their life too. I'm not saying I'm 100% on this, but I'm kind of a lot more when somebody comes and they're really aggressive. My first thought is, man, something's really going on in their life that's hurt. Because there wasn't enough there for that kind of emotion, you know? And so, listen, here's the thing. Can we be encouraged without having to have someone that we want to squish in the dirt and be like, yeah, listen, I think, here's what I want us to get to. New material now, right? New material. B, there is a warning here for us, okay? We have a warning. Look at verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord, what? See it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. I like it when, to me it's fun when you think you know which way the Bible's going to go, and then it kind of takes a U-turn. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Just, you know what's funny? We think we know God sometimes, and then we read something about it, like, no, that can't be God. But like, no, that's his word, and it is. Y'all ever like that? You know, it's like you're reading something, you're like, I would have thought God was just this nice thing, guy that let everybody do whatever they want, right? You know what I mean, in some sense. And all of a sudden you find something. Here's a warning. Number one, this proverb is really not about the wicked at all. It is about the believer. So what we're seeing here, this isn't about the wicked at all. It's not about how wicked they are, what their end's going to be. No, no, no. Listen, number two, we are not to have any sort of glee when suffering or judgment comes to the wicked. That's hard. Especially when they're Democrats. I'm just being serious. You know what I mean? Don't you kind of want the other guys to lose? Come on. Y'all are going to leave me hanging out here by myself. Okay, it's just me. All right, man, I'm a terrible person. shame on me. It's hard, I'm telling you, because you want the other guy. You know, you almost want to be like, yeah, that's what you get. We don't say that out of our mouth, but we're thinking it. Sometimes it does slip out of the lips, right? Well, that's what you get, right? And I'm telling you, we're not to enjoy. Isn't a little bit something wrong with this when we enjoy other people's hurt? Something's wrong with somebody that enjoys people's. We're living in a pretty wicked day. There's a lot of things go on. You know something I started seeing, and this I had to quit watching some of the. I don't know if it's still going on. I quit watching all that kind of stuff that would do that. But these kids in school that were beating up other kids, I mean, kicking them. I watched it stomping their head. I was in a pretty rough school that, you know, I kept my head down and kept my mouth shut because there would be stabbings at time and there would be fights and there would be, but it was always about really pride and trying to be like, you know, we're the toughest group. Okay, I'm not saying that's okay, but that at least makes some sense. But a kid that will come up and then 10 or 12 and just, it's like rage. I think, man, what is going on? There's something wrong. You know, these are kids in school. Some of them in elementary school. Wow. I'll tell you, I can remember one time my dad took me to a hockey game. Went to see the Sioux City Musketeers hockey. And it's, I don't know what level it is, but anyway, we went there and I remember this, man, I remember they started fighting. And I was kind of enjoying the fight. And then I felt bad about enjoying the fight. I didn't know hockey enough. Now I know that's just part of the game, so now I feel okay about it. But at the time, I remember being a little uncomfortable because I was enjoying the fight because I thought, no, they shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't like this. And everybody's cheering. I'm like, why are we cheering at the fight? This is a hockey game. But if y'all know, like, professional minor league kind of thing. Fighting is like what they do to entertain the crowd when one team is beating the other team real bad. Y'all know that, right? Okay. I just want to make sure because now I can watch a fight and be like, okay, we've been to where the teams were better. We went in Pennsylvania and they didn't fight because they were both good hockey playing teams. I guess it's all about, I mean, we got WWE out there too. So anyhow. We got to be, what he says here, is rejoice, verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, is what he's talking about. So here's a question. A, what do you think is the problem with such behavior? I mean, well, it's just bad, right? Well, look here. B, it is arrogancy and pride. That's B under, that's your two blanks on that one. It is arrogancy and pride. It's really this, it's suggesting it is because of our great effort that we're succeeding and they're not. It really, when we can kind of take joy at somebody else's failure, it suggests this, the reason I'm not failing is because I'm so good. Is that the case for us? Y'all with me tonight? Is that the case? We're really good. I'm just glad I'm not like those other sinners. You know, I tithe and I do the things and I'm, you know, I pray and I go to the temple. I'm glad I do all the things and not like these, right? We can easily find right now, we see that in the scripture. It feels very gross to do that, but we could get find ourselves in that thing. Number three, this proverb reveals God's way to help us overcome this negative attitude. God's going to give us a way to help us overcome this. And he says in verse 18, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Wow, this is interesting. A, under that, when the suffering of the wicked brings us joy, God suspends his judgment. It's as if God is saying, if the hurt of others, even your own enemy, brings you pleasure, I'm going to suspend that judgment to deprive you of your own wicked pleasure. God said, no, don't. If I see, by the way, you know what all God sees? He sees it all. Man, I hope God didn't see that. No, if you think it saw, if you thought it saw, right? And God said, so when it says, if he sees it, no, he sees it. He sees it. And I'm going to tell you, when God sees us being glad at somebody's hurt, it displeases him. Is that what it says there? That's what it says. It displeases him. And God said, when he sees it, what he's going to do is he's going to suspend that judgment. He's going to withhold that judgment from them. And so, can I tell you, that just displeases God in that kind of sense. So, this passage is meant to be an encouragement without driving us to our own form of evil. Okay, so we're to be encouraged that, listen, they're going to fall, their judgment's coming, but we shouldn't enjoy that. We shouldn't enjoy that. Look now at verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. This is the summary, folks. Do not fret really means this. Do not be. Here's the word what fret means. I think in our vernacular today, we think fret would mean worry. I think it's kind of maybe what we would think if I'd say, don't fret about it. I think my mind wants to jump to the conclusion it means to worry. It's actually not what it means here. It's actually the word fret here in our Bible is really a word that means to be angry. So what he's saying, don't be angry because of the wicked. Did I give you that already? Yeah, this is the summary. Do not fret, meaning do not be angry because of the wicked. So A under that. Then it continues and it says there, do not be envious. That's what it says. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. So, number two, what is coming to them is nothing like we would want to receive. You know, he's trying to say, don't get angry at them, but also don't get envious of them. Now, by the way, are we envious because they're falling? No. We're envious. So why would we be envious at them? Come on, let me give you 10. Okay, because they succeed? Oh, because they seem to be succeeding. Right. We can be envious of them because, you know what it is sometimes? I think it is. I think what happens sometimes is we can feel like we're playing with rules and they're not. We got gloves on, they're going bare knuckles. Right? And it feels like, doesn't it just feels like, you know, I've got to act right. I got to forgive you, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they're over here like, I ain't got to forgive you. And like, they play with no rules and we got a rule book. It feels so unfair. Isn't that right? And God said, don't. It's not what it seems. It's not what it seems. It might look like they're... Listen, you know what? You know what they may do? They may knock us down. They may come up against us and get ridiculous to us. And we fall. You see, the scriptures tell us, you can get up again. How often? Well, 7 times. Continually. You're going to get up again. They're not. The end, we're in the, for the long game, folks. The long game isn't 70 plus years. The long game is eternity. And so don't be envious of that. Don't be envious of this temporal little thing they've got. But don't get angry at them. Man, it's so tough. It's like, I don't know what to feel about these people. I kind of hate them for what they do to me and do to my people. It's easier to hate people than they do stuff to people you love. I really hate people. You know, it's easier to, I don't want to hate anybody. Help me, Lord. Right? I don't want to hate people, but sometimes people do things to other people that make you want to, it's easier to like, you're hurting my people. You want to talk about Mama Bear coming out, right? Say something kind of not nice about their kid. All of a sudden, you know, right? So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. So don't be angry. Don't fret again because of them. But also don't be envious of what's going on in their life. Listen, they have no eternal reward coming. They ain't got anything coming. No eternal reward coming. B, their light of life is going to be extinguished. That's what it says at the end of verse 20. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Their light is going to be out. It's going to be extinguished. Here's our conclusion. We've got a conclusion on a Wednesday night. Okay, we don't usually have a conclusion, but we do. Because this one. So number one, rejoicing in God's justice is right. Rejoicing in God's justice is right. Number two, rejoicing in the hurt of others is sin. It's sin. No. It's not just wrong. It's not just bad. It's sin. How do we know it's sin? Because it displeases God. Right? So to rejoice in that way and to rejoice in the hurt of others, even the worst among us. Let me say this and we'll finish. That doesn't mean I don't want justice to be served. If a mass murderer kills a bunch of people and they're caught, it doesn't mean, well, I wish they wouldn't have got caught. No, I want justice to be served because that's right. Right? To rejoice in God's justice is right. But not that I hope he just burns. You know what I'm saying? We need to have one of these, you know, some people say, you know, the execution that we have where they put an injection and it kind of puts them to sleep and then it kills. It's like, that's too humane. We need to be a little more painful. See what I'm saying? We kind of get justice. God's justice is right. Amen. God's doing what he said he was going to do. But we ought not enjoy people's hurt. If we become angry and jealous of them, we will absolutely not be involved in reaching them. Reaching them. I'm telling you folks, this is how we know that's the work of the devil. Getting us angry at people. Can I say a little bit, maybe justifiably angry, worldly speaking, humanly speaking, but when you get angry at somebody, you're not going to reach them for Christ. When you get jealous of somebody, you don't want to help them know the Lord and have success in their life. When we get angry, I'm telling you folks, we have no, for the believer tonight, I'm just telling you, we have no place in our life for anger and envy. We just have no place. If it gets in, the right stuff is going to get out. We will not reach somebody we're angry with. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you've known for a long time. They're not saved and you've never really got across to them, never attempted. Maybe what's in your life is you're angry at people. Has anybody ever hurt you? It's easy to get angry at them and push them. I'm telling you, you can't help some of you're angry with. Look here. Know that we will be victorious, but let's be good sports. All right? Be a good sport about it. Nah, I'm going to heaven. You're not. Right? Come on. Hey, you say what you want to say. I know where you're going. No, no, let's be good sports. You ever seen, what's worse, a poor loser or a poor winner? I think a poor winner is worse. I mean, a poor loser is kind of expected. We shouldn't be poor losers. We're not losers. So, amen. I don't know what a loser is like. I live in America. Sorry. No. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise again. You know, I'm going to rise again. But the thing is, being a poor winner, that ain't going to reach anybody for Christ. It's not going to help anybody spiritually. So, see, we have a team that we are still recruiting to. Here's the thing. The wicked that are wicked can be recruited to be a child of God and be righteous. I don't think that person ever gets. No, I'm telling you, folks, I was that guy that was on that team of wickedness. I was the wicked. And I don't think anybody, and I didn't have anybody sitting over there like, man, this guy would make a good Christian. Nobody said that. Nobody said, man, if he would come to church, he would be awesome. No, they thought if he come to church, we're going to have security guard to watch him. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, but I'm going to tell you, the most wicked, now we've heard stories, folks. We've heard stories. People that were wicked and vile, and God did a work in their heart. And they actually can become, they become great friends. Fellowship, the love for the Lord, a brother, sister. Let's not be glad at the hurt of the wicked. Instead, let's be sad. I think it's okay to maybe be sad that they don't know my Savior. And I'm telling you, when our spirit changes, folks, there's nobody that we could hate so bad that we'd want them to go to hell. Shouldn't be. And when our spirit changes, and instead of being angry or jealous or happy because of their hurt, let's be sad because they don't know our Savior and let that drive us to tell them about Him. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight with this proverb, and Lord, help us to see the really Your desire for us, Lord, and what it is that pleases You and what You desire from us. And Lord, this is a challenging area actually for us, Lord, and that's why You've put it here for us. And we can get real mixed emotions in wanting victory. Lord, You've promised us victory. Victory's coming. You're very clear about Your judgment on the wicked. And yet, Lord, we find here tonight that we are not to rejoice in this side of heaven. Lord, we rejoice in Your justice, but not another's heart hurt and harm. And Lord, you've created them, and Lord, You wish that none would perish. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to not be angry, not be envious of others, but that we would attempt to win them to Jesus Christ. Lord, pray that You'd have Your will and way tonight in our life through this week. And Lord, we'll give You thanks for it now. In Jesus' name.